not the body. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Ethanolive Internet Radio, www.ethanolive.com.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Eppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.
Yes, good evening. It is Sunday night, and that means one thing. It is Simple Flight Radio. I'm Al Waterloo, broadcasting live from the KPWK Airport on KPWK Radio. And it is a great night to talk about airplanes, everything aviation. And we've got some good people in the house tonight. Our regular co-host, Mr. Mark Eppner.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
Oh, man. I've had a great day. I've had an absolute great day. I have to tell you, maybe this is a little early in the show, but I got up this morning and pulled out the old YouTube, and I started watching videos of people taking their first solo.
And it was so exciting. Did you really?
Yeah, it was so exciting to see the smiles, It seemed like at 300 to 500 feet, all of a sudden the smile came on. Like, oh, my God, this is cool. I'm flying. Then about 200 feet more, they started looking out the window left and right.
Yeah.
And it was consistent across everyone doing that. Brought back some good memories. Some memories, actually, I have to admit, I've forgotten. But it was just really cool, and it got me pumped for the entire day. I've been waiting all day for 8 o'clock tonight here Central Time.
I know. You've been, like, on fire since we've been on the phone a couple times, and over dinner, you're like, it's like Christmas morning for you. It's awesome.
Yeah, as much as Christmas can be for a Jewish guy.
Hey, you're the one that told me not to bring up Jewish jokes tonight.
You're the one that started saying Christmas on September 30th.
Yeah, right. Well, speaking of that, I was at Menards the other day, and they had Christmas stuff out already. Can you
no
believe
way.
It?
They must have forgotten to take it down from last year.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Tis the season of economic holiday.
But, evidently.
Anyway, sitting next to me here, we got we brought him off the street, Mr. Todd McClamrock. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me tonight.
Awesome. We're glad to have you here.
Yeah, we're excited. For those of you that don't know Todd, he's kind of famous. Is what did that thing from the Anchorman? I'm kind of a big deal.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Those are your words, not mine.
I understand. But we're going to have some great conversation, introduce our audience to Todd here in just a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, it's good. I think we've got a pretty neat show lined up tonight, don't we?
Well, they all are.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, because you're here. You're our PIC.
Well, yeah, you're the co-pilot.
Oh. Yeah, well, as well it should be. I mean, I'm so much older than you, but you have so much more experience than me in aviation. I guess I'll never catch up.
Hey, I wouldn't say that, you know. Yeah, but, you know, they do say that the difference between a co-pilot and a duck is that a duck can fly. Yes, I got you to laugh. I got you to laugh. Yeah.
It was either that or hit you. So
yeah.
I had to take the lesser
All
of two.
Right. Evils. Yeah, I finally did it.
Yeah. Absolutely. What can I say?
Wow. All right. Well,
you know, what else is exciting about tonight?
What's that?
We are actually taking a huge step.
Yes, we are.
We're actually recording this. We're waving to the camera. So in addition to the iTunes and all that, we're going to make our first attempt to actually use videography here and maybe post that to the internet as well. Kind of a, instead of Mike and Mike in the morning, we got Al and Mark in the evening.
Absolutely.
Something like that. I
absolutely.
Don't know.
Well,
so we'll have fun with it. We're having a lot of fun with the show, and it just continues to get more fun and better every week.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the coolest aspects about this is each week it's gotten a little bit better. Sometimes there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that gets a little bit nicer, but I think today is we've nailed it on all fronts. It's really exciting.
I think that's pretty bold of you. Say some 7 minutes into the show.
Yeah,
not to jinx us.
Well, the show is the easy part.
Yeah, exactly. Now you do a lot of work getting us set up.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure our listening public appreciates it.
I'm sure they do. But so here, since I finally nailed you, I got you with a joke, and you finally laughed. It's time for the Sunday Night Chuckle.
All right. Well, maybe I don't need to go if we got the chuckle.
Hey, well, I haven't laughed yet.
Okay. Well, we need to see if we can take care of that. It just so happens, I think you know, it wasn't last week, but the week before I was in New York. So I had a chance to fly the airline.
Yeah, that business trip.
Yeah, business trip. I went out to landed at LaGuardia, and the trip actually finished a little early, and so I ran out to the airport. I've got a couple million miles over my years on one specific airline, and so I could put my name on the standby list. That's hard to do these days.
That's perfect.
And I got on this flight early to Chicago, but it was a filled flight, and so you know I couldn't get my normal aisle forward of the wing. Actually, it was a joke to try and get on the first class standby list. But what was funny is,
did it make you laugh? Was that kind of a joke? Trying to get on the first cut.
No,
first
not cut. That kind of a joke. But I was excited to get back early. So, you know, they had me sit down in a seat. I looked. It was all the way in the back of the airplane, and I like to be forward of the wing. So I saw it was a two- and three-seater, two on the left and three on the right, you know, A, B, and then...
Oh, an MD-80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was on the right side, and there was a young lady on the aisle, and I thought, well, I'll just grab the window seat. I don't normally like to do that because I can never get out if I need to go to the restroom, right?
Right.
So I sat down, and then another girl had just come up from the back. She was already sitting in the middle seat. No, we didn't have to have three across.
Right, yeah.
And so I looked at the girl on the aisle, and I said, I'm really sorry. Do you want me to move? And she said, well, I don't know. Do what you want to do. But we were three thin people, so it worked out okay.
Sure.
But across the aisle, I see this little guy, right? Not wide and not tall, and he gets in the window seat, and then a big old football player type comes in, and sure enough, sits right next to him, and I could see that this guy was uncomfortable.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So the guy sits down, and it's a very turbulent fight, and I'm watching this little guy turn green. You could tell, I mean, this guy was not feeling well. We're bouncing all over this guy. I could see that something wasn't right.
The little guy did.
Yeah. And he's looking at the big guy who was falling asleep, somehow managed to sleep. And you could tell he wanted to say, hey, can I get out? Can't climb over the guy. He's huge.
Yeah.
So he just stays there, and I know he's got to be uncomfortable.
Oh, man. Sounds like it.
Yeah. And then we hit one big thing. I mean, it was severe turbulence, right? Just boom. And it even made me feel a little uncomfortable, and this guy just loses it. He pukes all over the big guy, all over his chest and everything. And I, you know, I was thinking, oh, man, this doesn't smell good and all that. What's he going to do and without even getting beat up? And about 5 minutes later, the big guy wakes up, and I really made me laugh listening to this little guy because he looked at the big guy and said, I hope you feel better now.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Yes. Yes, sir. That is a great, you get an applause from the crowd.
All right.
Nice
job. Good studio audience today.
Yeah. I think that they enjoyed that. Hey, that was a good one. I like that. You know, that sounds like a pretty interesting trip to New York.
That was a good trip. Yeah. I drove in New York, which normally I cab it. This one I rented a car, and actually it was on September 11th and 12th.
Really?
So on September 11th to be driving in Manhattan was interesting. As a matter of fact, I was a little worried about security, but it was a pretty normal day. But I had a good trip, and New York was a great town, but I'm certainly happy to be back in Chicago.
That sounds great.
My hometown.
Absolutely. Well, you know, today represents a pretty significant day for the Simple Flight Radio Show. We kind of talked about that at the beginning of the show, but we brought in a new piece of technology to our show today.
Besides the video camera?
Besides the video camera.
Well, okay, I'm looking around. I see some things that are kind of nice.
Yeah. We shelled out some serious bucks on Amazon.com for some equipment here. New piece of tech. How about microphone stands?
Yeah, it's nice to have my arms crossed and not have to hold a microphone.
Absolutely, which is great. We spent a couple dollars on the show here, and you know what? It's kind of felt kind of good.
Yeah, feeling a little like you're a gambling man making some money and.
Absolutely, and I would like to pack my bags and go to Vegas.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little of the Elvis spirit myself.
Yeah, definitely. So my question is, do I bring shorts or do I bring pants?
I don't know what the weather's like in Las Vegas at this point.
Well, we better check it out. Let's see what's going on down there.
Are we trying to call Elvis?
Yeah, Elvis.
All right, hopefully he'll answer.
Visibility, 1-0. Sky condition, clear. Temperature, 3-4 Celsius.
Wow, it's hot.
0-3 Celsius. Altimeter, 2-9-9-6. Remarks. Density altitude, 4,900.
That's high.
That is high.
Las Vegas, McCarran International Airport. Automated weather observation, 0112 Zulu.
I guess you should bring shorts.
180.
Yeah.
0-7.
Temperature 35.
Visibility, 1-0.
10.
Sky condition, clear.
10 and clear.
I'll take it.
That's nice.
Let's hop in your King Air and make it happen.
Absolutely. I got to bring some cargo shorts for the poker chips.
Actually, we said King Air. We just saw a C-90 take off. But what else? We just saw, what was that? A Falcon 7?
A Falcon 7. That's a nice airplane.
And where was it heading, Todd?
Bern, Switzerland.
You know, it's been an amazing week here. For those of you listening, you may be aware that Chicago has hosted the Ryder Cup, and between DuPage Airport, Delta Papa Alpha, and Chicago Executive, Papa Whiskey Kilo.
If you don't know where that is, pull out your JEP chart or look us up on 4Flight.
There you go. Always get that plug in, don't you?
Yes.
And we have had a heck of a lot of jet traffic with a lot of golf bags getting on and off airplanes.
Yeah, absolutely. How's your golf game?
You know, ever since I got back into flying, I haven't been golfing. I think it's with me, it's an either or.
I did the same thing. beautiful day. Put the golf clubs in the garage and head out to the airport.
Yeah, I love it.
Exactly right.
Should play airport golf or something like that. Make a new sport.
Oh, there you go.
Have the Simple Flight Cup. Yeah.
All right. I got one into the intake of the citation. A hole in one.
Absolutely. Definitely. So that was kind of a neat piece on Chicago history. Big golf tournament came into town. But
yeah, made history a little bit.
Yeah, made history. But I'm going to rewind the clock a little bit back to 1965.
It's 1965. Unlike you two, I remember 65.
Oh, wow. Jim Stone didn't. He remembered. you know, 1965, something really cool happened.
Tell me more. I'm so excited.
The Lockheed L-100 was introduced.
No way.
Do you know what that is?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a Lockheed L-100.
True state. Touche.
Tushy.
But we had... No, the Lockheed L-100 is the civilian version of the C-130. You know that airplane?
I do very well.
Do you know that?
I'm very familiar with the C-130. I've got a friend that flies those, but I was not aware of the L-100 civilian.
Absolutely. There's a specific name behind that, and I got to look it up and see if we can find it. But, you know, the C-130, oh, no, it's just the Hercules. Just like the C-130 Hercules, it's the L-100 Hercules as well.
Oh, got it.
But
that was pretty neat. September 30th, 1965.
Yeah, right? That's probably one of the coolest airplanes that rolled out.
Actually, I have to top you on this. Forgive me, I know we're friends, but September 30th in 1968, actually, I think a bigger introduction. Oh, come on now. You haven't even heard me talk. Let's not take the boobs out yet. What are the boo birds doing here?
You can't top that.
Yeah, well, in September 30th, 1968, they opened the hangar and for the very first time introduced to the public the Boeing 747.
Oh, man.
That was pretty cool. And look where it is today. I mean, it's hard to believe that it was way back in 1968.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's the first time it was introduced to the public outside the hangar walls, so it was pretty cool.
That's really cool.
I don't know. Hey, Todd, can you up top that?
You know, I as a guest, I probably shouldn't, but I think I have something that can shoot the both of you down.
Now,
I do have to step outside of the aircraft airplane category and go with a rotorcraft.
Oh, okay, man.
Right, so what I've got is the AH-64. Often known as the Apache, which was first flown in 1975.
Really?
Yes, yes. You know, it's a four-blade twin-engine helicopter that's been featured in a lot of films and seen through the military.
Yeah.
Very impressive helicopter. So I'm going to say that trumps the two aircraft.
That's a pretty good job. I'd say he did well for his guest. Good thing he's not here next week.
Or we might not be here next week because we'd be shot down.
Holy smokes. I have to say, oddly enough, I'm looking at it on impdb.org, which I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with. Most people know of the Internet Movie Database.
Yeah, IMDb.
IMDb, Internet Movie Database. Well, there's now IMPDB, which is the Internet Plane Database.
Really?
Internet Movie Plane Database. And you can look up any plane, any aircraft, and find out what movies it's been in. And I can see here that the Apache has a long history of being in films such as The Kingdom, Ghost Rider, many of the Transformers films, and even in The Simpsons.
Simpsons.
That's a website you get yourself lost in for hours.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wasn't aware of it till this very moment, so thank you for that.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, he can come back next week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's cool. So if we're back in 1975, and you're the test pilot, you'd have one heck of a story. So, but we're here in the present, 2012. What did you do this week?
Well, my flying this week, I'm trying to remember something earlier, but I had a great day yesterday. Saturday, I came to the airport.
Uh-huh.
I had every anticipation of getting checked out in the club. And when I say the club, we're talking about Leading Edge Flying Club.
Yes.
At a Papa Whiskey Kilo. I was getting checked out in the new Sky Arrow, which is like an LSA, only the gross weight it won't allow it to be it. And the CFI that was going to check me out, and this was ill. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, so I was kind of bummed out, but then I noticed the SR-22 was available, so I grabbed that. And true to what we keep trying to do about introducing people to aviation and all that, in our little clubhouse, affectionately called The Ledge, there was a...
Who came up with that name, by the way? Was that you?
Actually, I was part of that, yes.
It was a collaborative? It was a panel?
It was two of us that kind of came together. Actually, Leading Edge Flying Club came from my youngest son, who doesn't even like aviation.
What?
But he's a marketing guy.
Yeah.
And, he came up with that.
Smart man.
I came up with great planes, great people, by the way. But anyway, I digress. So this gentleman that was there is taking flying lessons at a neighboring airport. And he had just been complaining to me that in the past few months, he's had four different instructors.
Four?
Yeah.
Quattro,
going for his private ticket. And they've just left they've left that business. I don't know if they're going into airlines or what was the cause of it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of reminded me, one, of things you and I have talked about before, that the people just weren't committed to him and what his goals. They were interested in achieving their goals, which is great, but along the way they didn't make him feel like he was the most important person on their agenda for that hour.
Right.
So I just said, hey, have you ever been in an SR-22? He hadn't, and so we just went up and did a quick little $100 hamburger. I had a great time. I always love flying that plane. And I felt pretty good about things, having, you know, introduced yet another person to yet another airplane, in this case a high-performance airplane that private students love to fly him.
Had he ever been in a Cirrus?
No. He's actually, his only airplane he's ever been in is a 172.
Really? Yeah. Oh, he must have loved it.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think he still had a smile on his face when we got back. I let him fly a little bit out there. So I had a ball. I think he had a ball. Matter of fact, a friend of his was a designated pilot examiner, bumped into me, and evidently, he was told by this guy that he got the experience, so I'm sure he had a great time.
Oh, that's awesome.
I did, too. So I felt good about it, and, of course, I got to fly, so made it a great day.
Absolutely. Well, hey.
How about you?
Props for you. Well, Yeah. But anyway, I had kind of a really fun week in aviation.
Tell me more.
So we were out flying the King Air all over the place this week, and that was fun. Got to fly into Washington Dulles. and go to Frederick, Maryland. We all know what aviation name is in Frederick.
AOPA.
Exactly. And then, but that wasn't even the highlight of it, if you can believe it.
I can't, but go ahead. I'm sitting down. I just tightened my seatbelt.
So I rented a Piper Arrow.
Oh, no kidding.
Out of Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
Good for you.
At Leading Edge, believe it or not, Leading Edge Aviation, Inc.
I'm going to sue them.
Well, they can sue. They've been around longer. No, but Leading Edge Aviation out in the Doylestown Airport, Delta Yankee Lima. A lot of airplanes to rent out there. And I decided to rent a Piper Arrow. And my coworker and I, Johnny, he called in the show not too long ago.
Remember
yep, him?
I do.
We flew to JFK, John F. Kennedy, in the Piper Arrow. And we ended up flying out there, and while we flew up there, it was about a 60 mile flight, 45 minute flight or so, and while we were flying there on New York approach, there was an emergency.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, there's an Airbus A330 that was going into land. And remember the JetBlue accident, incident out in L.A. where the nose wheel was ground down?
I saw this on YouTube or something. I saw this video, yes. Yeah. You were flying in at that time?
Yeah, we were flying. We flew in right behind this guy, and we landed right behind him.
You must have hit his nose wheel.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a safe landing.
Yeah, it changed just before he touched down.
Yeah, he changed just before touchdown. Yeah. And we flew in. We landed right behind him on a different runway, but we're the next arrival in. We shot the VOR DME 22 approach into JFK, and we got to go up. The tower manager picked us up, and we got to go on a tower tour and spend about an hour up in the tower cab at JFK.
You're my hero. I want to go on your King Air trips so badly.
Oh, it was cool, though. But so the one thing that I really want to point, and I'm going to write a blog article about this. I'm always trying to find something that's a little bit, that exists, but not necessarily totally obvious. But you imagine the view at JFK. It's pretty cool.
Oh, I imagine so.
You can look out on Long Island. You can look out on the Atlantic Ocean. You can see LaGuardia. You can see Manhattan. And you can see Wall Street. 360-degree view, beautiful. And as you look out on Manhattan, specifically on Wall Street, I kind of had a humbling experience of a flashback of, hey, this is what this view must have looked like on September 11th.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
It was such an incredible, like emotional, moving, thought. And I was just like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. And for guys to land all the air traffic in the country, and JFK being a big one, and I'm sure a lot of those guys that were working the tower that day knew people in Manhattan or that worked in there, and seeing those things fall and all that. But as I looked down at the station that overlooked the Manhattan and the Wall Street, I saw an old Polaroid picture they had of what it looked like out in that view before September 11th that they just posted, that they taped right below the window with the old skyline. And I thought that was actually pretty cool of how they remembered that and just, taped this little picture of the old skyline with the Twin Towers in that same spot of where you would look out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. So. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Todd, how about yourself? Did you do anything gnarly?
It was a quiet week aviation style for me. Regrettably,
yeah.
So I think I'll rectify that this week and make sure I get out in the Archer.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's good. Well, anyway, we're gonna get into the meat and potatoes of why you're really here. But first, real quick.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner.
Oh, I like that.
On Ethanolive Internet Radio, www.ethanolive.com.
Anyway, well...
Yeah. And one more. We have to do one, I hate to use the word plug, but it really is. Our sincere thank you to Signature Flight Support.
Absolutely.
Who provides us our facilities, as we've mentioned before, and we're not kidding. We are broadcasting from KPWK. Oh, that's a nice G-form taxing out.
Absolutely.
They make their facility available to us each Sunday night, and we stretch out and spread out and put down all these monitors and all this electronic gear. And a beautiful airport and a beautiful view. So our thanks to Signature for being wonderful hosts.
Absolutely. They've done a great job with handling the big business jets that came in for the Ryder Cup. And it's been pretty fantastic watching professional crews really do their work well. As a person that uses Signature quite a bit, I definitely appreciate that. So, but anyway, Todd.
How you doing?
Good. Real good. But, so... Where you're with us tonight, and you're doing some pretty cool stuff in aviation, and it's something that I certainly look up to, and I'm sure Mark can say the same.
Absolutely,
yeah. You kind of have a pretty cool little thing going on. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, I've got a gig that's worked out all right. I've gotten some pretty interesting aviation experiences over the years. I've been an aviation enthusiast all my life. Knew I wanted to fly at some point, just didn't know when or how. Excuse me, that was going to come about. And then probably eight or 9 years ago, my wife finally said, "You know, every time we drive by that airport, you nearly drive off the road. You know, why don't you just go across the fence line and do this?" It's been a lifelong dream. And
sounds like you married right.
I trust me on that. Yeah, I know that is true. And when she said that, I kind of thought, and I said, "Well, yeah, why don't I? You know, what's been keeping me away from doing that?" And so, in 2004, I went out and really started to seriously think about learning to fly. And the first thing I did, I'm kind of an interactive kind of guy, I like the internet, and so I started to look around to see what people had written about learning to fly and get a better sense of, you know, how much is it going to cost? How much time do I need to dedicate? What's the process? Am I smart enough to do this? You know, can I fly an airplane, or will someone trust me with their airplane? And there wasn't that much out there. There was a lot of the information from local flight schools, but I wasn't sure how much to trust their take on it.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed not to find much of a kind of a user view on what it takes, a personal write-up on the experience. And so
definitely,
when I decided to do it, I said, well, I better document it.
Yeah.
Instead of that problem existing, I'll write about it. And so I created a blog called My Flight Blog, myflightblog.com, and wrote my first post about 2 weeks before I started to take my lessons.
Nice.
And first started talking about how to pick a school, my process of going to different schools. You know, they offered those free, or not free, but cheap introductory flights.
Right.
And
I
took one of those at, I think, four different schools trying to find, not just to get cheap flights.
Yeah.
I took 60 Discovery flights and got my pilot's
exactly.
license.
Exactly.
<Well,
laughs>
out.
New instructor every week was tough, but in the end it worked out. But it, you know, it gave me a good opportunity to kind of find the right school for me, the right
sure.
type of training environment. And I still to this day always recommend to people that's one of the things I do if you're going to go look to obtain a license, is to seek out the right school that's going to fit your learning style.
Definitely. I think that's great advice. I mean, you're the first person I know that it's actually gone out and interviewed four different flight schools. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great too, because then about 3 weeks into my training, the flight school closed.
Oh man.
With the one you had picked.
With the one I had picked, and I was back to ground zero. But luckily by that time I had found a there were a few of those words in my house. But luckily I'd found a really nice instructor, and I think that is so important to the flight training experience.
Oh,
is having that good relationship.
Definitely.
And so I followed her from a towered field to an uncontrolled field, and then continuing my training. And it only took me about 4 months to earn my license. I was flying on a very frequent basis.
That's pretty quick.
Which I think that is also a key to you know, keeping the cost down and learning to fly, is to have high frequency, so you're not relearning something new every time. But it was great documenting my flight training experiences, because each day when I'd come home from flying, I'd sit at the computer and figure out how to write about what I had just learned, and it really made me think a lot more about each lesson. So the lesson went beyond just what I was paying for at the field and paying for in the plane, And that really helped me make that material sink in
right
week to week.
In 2004, is that, I'm trying to remember when blogs really became, outside of aviation as well, when blogs became the end thing to do. Was that before 2004? Was that about the time?
There definitely were blogs before that, but I don't think they were mainstream enough yet.
Right.
I think the techie crowd definitely was doing it, and it was available before that. But it was really in that time period where it was starting to become popular, and people knew to go look for blogs on a topic. And blogs really were successful because they were about people that were really passionate about whatever they were writing about. You had guys running about how to run a marathon, and all the marathon runners would read about it. And for me, it was aviation, and I was blessed to, people could find me through the search engines, and they would either come to write words of encouragement for me, recommending how I could do something different on my next flight, or providing a suggestion for me. But then even towards the end, which was neat, the tides turned a little bit, and people were coming to me to ask my opinion, and I was happy to return the favor to be able to, do whatever I could do to help somebody out in figuring out, how to pick a flight school, how to keep their costs down, encouraging them to stick with it if they have a tough
Definitely.
Flight. Yeah.
Isn't that the case so many times? You do something not to help yourself out, but to help you get through a process, and then you run into other people at, hey, I need the same thing, and now it starts to create that community, all the things we talk about in aviation, and I'm sure with other things as well, running marathons you mentioned.
Right.
There's all these little communities out there, and certainly technology has allowed us to connect those over the last X number of years.
How did that feel when the first person that wrote you said, hey, what would you recommend for me, or when they came to you asking for advice?
It was really neat. I was excited because somebody is in that process where they were as excited as I was just a few months before. And as we all know, aviation isn't really a topic you have around the water cooler at most offices. So we have to, as pilots, sometimes seek out that atmosphere or that community to enjoy that kind of conversation. And it was neat to be able to connect with these people, throughout the country, no matter where they are, through the internet, and help answer some of the questions that they may have, and hopefully encourage them to take the step forward to obtain their pilot's license.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. So that's one thing that I really like about your blog specifically, and is just the way that you've kind of connected the two of a training and a social environment. That's pretty impressive. I think that doesn't really exist that well, or if at all, out there, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, I think, we all know that the pilot community is unique and rare. It's a very special group of people. We're all very smart and good-looking.
Now that makes me laugh.
All right, I got my chuckle in.
You're doing very good. Hey, Al, maybe you won't be available next week, and he can stand in for you. Just kidding.
It's a great community, and what I've learned through the blog is that everybody wants to help everyone else out, and just like I try to help others out, if I had a question, I could find somebody that's written about it, and I could reach out to them on their blog or on their website, send them a note, and people actually respond. They take the time to talk to other pilots. They want to help other pilots out, and that's where I've been very blessed to have a wide variety of fun and interesting flight experiences, but mainly because I just ask. I say, I'm a pilot. I'm a passionate about aviation. I hear you've got a helicopter that does loops. I'd like to do that, please. and sure enough, most of these people are kind enough to say, yeah, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Wow, I got to get more aggressive. Yeah, I've followed you, Todd, and riding in Fat Albert of the Blue Angels, flying with, I forget the gentleman you just talked about.
Chuck Aaron, yeah.
Chuck
Aaron.
Red
Bull helicopter.
Red Bull helicopter with the L-39s. I mean, you guys, anyone listening, go out to www.myflightblog.com and look over the last several years, and it's just the experience is just by saying, may I please, can I hitch a ride? It's just been amazing. Again, you're my hero.
Yeah, it's been neat for that aspect of getting to get in some aircraft that you normally just kind of gawk at, but also for meeting neat people. My wife's from New Jersey, and there's a guy that I've been reading his blog for years, and he's based in New Jersey, and he runs a site called 110 Knots.
Nice.
And I finally wrote him. I said, hey, I'm going to be in New Jersey in a few weeks. Would love to fly with you. sure enough, he says, yeah, let's do it. We sign it up, and here are two guys that knew each other through the blogosphere and commenting on each other's blogs.
Yeah.
And we're flying over Newark and doing the Hudson Hudson River approach and up and down the Hudson River, and it was just a really neat experience. But again, if I didn't have that blog or get involved with that community, I wouldn't have had that experience. And so just a neat opportunity to meet interesting people, other pilots, a great opportunity to learn from other pilots.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been very, very happy that I took that step when I learned to fly and said, you know, I'm going to document it, one, for my own personal benefit of being able to keep a record of it, but also to be able to kind of share it with others.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm wondering, though, how do you, you know, I'll give some personal information. I know you have a family. You have a job Monday through Friday. How do you get all of this in to be able to take these week-long trips or this one-day thing during the weekday when you have all these other priorities, I'll use that term, that you have to juggle?
Yeah, it's not five-hour energy, surprisingly enough.
It's jet fuel.
Yeah, no, I've got a great employer and a great wife that all understand how excited I get about aviation. So, you know, I was lucky last year. The U.S. Army Golden Knights called me on a Wednesday night and said, if you can get out here tomorrow morning, we'll let you skydive with us. And, you know, so I quickly went to my wife first and made sure she was cool with it. Then went to my boss. But everyone, I think, sees the enjoyment it brings to me.
Yeah,
and how important it is. They say, sure, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Wow.
Go get it done. Sure, I do put in a lot of extra hours in the weekends and the evenings, kind of tending to the blog and coming up with new things to write about. But it's what I'm passionate about. You know, I love aviation, so it's not a task. That's enjoyable hours.
So when you go and get the proper clearance from your wife, what does she do? Just check to make sure the life insurance is paid up?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the first step. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really cool, because talk about an aviation experience that you have and how you've kind of tailored that to exactly what you want to get out of aviation. You know, I'm a firm believer in that aviation uses you, so you should use it back. And I think that what you've done with myflightblog.com is definitely doing that, you know, even today. And I think there's some really cool stories. And another thing that's really neat is that, you know, this, everybody has a pilot logbook, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's as they say in 1/6 right, it's a love story.
It is a love story. And the one critique that I could give about pilot logbooks is the remarks section. They're not big enough, right?
I know. All I can do is put down what kind of approach I shot and when I want to say so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the CFI takes up all their space and signing their name and all that. But I think that your my flight blog has kind of turned into your own, you know, a supplemental logbook that captures a lot of the cool experiences rather than just the required flight time that the FAA asks us to record. You know, each flight has a story. It is a love story. I mean, think about how important the blog is to you.
Yeah, no, I'd be heartbroken if it was lost. I often go back. I know you hear of people going back and reading their logbook. I'll go back and read the blog just so I can look at photos that were taken on a trip or kind of remember what happened and even see what my friends and readers said in the comment section. And so for me, that's been very important. I know there's others that do it by video. They like to videotape every flight they do. You know, I think there's just so many different ways now to log or keep track of these experiences that take it beyond that kind of 6-7 words you can fit in the remarks section of your logbook.
Absolutely.
And well, actually, you speak to the technology, and just as you were talking, people like to video, and I mentioned earlier in the show about watching all these first solos. When I got my license in 1976, there was no web. The video cameras were, you know, they had to plug them in, and the cord just wasn't long enough. and it's almost like I'm thinking back all the things I could have done, but all we had was our paper logbook.
Well, how'd you get followers on Twitter then?
I don't have an answer for that. You know, I'm thinking he's expecting something funny, but at least I know when to shut up, Al. but just the fact that it's there, and I think to Al's and my prime directive here about finding amazing people doing amazing things in aviation and helping the industry, this is one of those areas that the enabling technology is there, and just like Todd's talking about, we've got to take advantage of it. The people out there want to use these technologies to remember, and the paper logbook is probably seen its better days in the past.
Absolutely. Even though I'd still like to be a purist and keep a paper logbook going just for old time's sake, I think there's some really neat ways of capturing those experiences.
I still use the paper log. And I put it right next to my slide rule.
Right.
No, I do the paper log and I do an Excel spreadsheet.
You know, is your rotary dial phone right next to it as well?
Yeah, exactly right. Did I tell you why area codes are what? Never mind. If you ever want to know why area codes are set up, it's all because of the rotary dial. I'll save that for trivia on another show.
All right. So anyway, but
where did that come from?
Okay. Swing and a miss. No, yeah. Just kidding.
Strike three.
He gone. But no, anyway, so I think that's kind of neat that, you know, this is a big supplemental and a blog is a supplemental logbook to all the different experiences. And one thing that that I think my flight blog does and what you've done with that is that you've kind of explored some additional ways of how to capture and maximize your aviation experience, and by exploring different technologies, websites, apps, things like that, that really kind of take your flying experience to the next level.
Yeah, no, I think first and foremost, I'm a aviation content consumer. I can spend many an hour just reading blogs and reading what other people are doing with their aviation hours and what they do when they get in the plane. And, you know, I started to see that a lot more people were recording their flights and uploading video or uploading a map of their flight. And I would look at that and say, that's really cool. Like, it's neat to see where they flew and the maneuvers they did and, you know, see how they did an ILS approach and those types of things. And so then it makes you say, well, how do I do that? And how can I figure that out? And so that's something I'm constantly doing. I love to download new apps and new toys to play with and see if I can integrate them into what I do. One of the ones I used most recently on a flight with you, Al, when we went down to Gassens, was one called Cloud Ahoy.
Yeah.
And Cloud Ahoy is basically like a flight data tracker. And it's like having your own black box in your pocket kind of type thing.
That's pretty cool.
That sounds kind of strange, actually, now that I say that.
iPhones are black, aren't they?
There you go.
Yeah.
Or white. Yeah, one of the two.
But sure enough, you know, I start this thing right before takeoff and forget about it then. I don't have to do another thing with it. I'm able to use my ForeFlight as I'm flying. And when I land in St. Louis, surely I've forgotten that I was using this thing. But it's smart enough and knows that, hey, the plane has landed. It stopped. I'm going to turn off all recording. And then later that day, I said, oh, I forgot about that app I was testing.
Yeah.
And it was really neat. I was able to pull up our route of flight. It showed our speed at every segment of the flight.
Nice.
It showed our altitude. You could look at this track on a Google Earth map, so you could rotate it and look at it from the side and see the elevation or the altitude that we had climbed.
Yeah.
So you see us kind of hanging under the shelf when we're flying out of Chicago under the Class B here.
Right.
And it was really neat. And then they also have a cockpit view, so you can kind of see what it would have looked like from the cockpit of the plane as you fly the route or fly into St. Louis. And we actually were lucky enough, Al took some video from the cockpit, from the backseat of the cockpit.
Right.
When we landed at St. Louis, and I kind of mapped it against what the tool made it look like, and it looked very similar. And so now I'll be able to always go back at that and see, you know, remember what it was like to fly into St. Louis, so it was a really neat tool to, you know, allow us to capture a memory. But I think also it's a tool that you know, Al, for you in flight training, would be very valuable with a student, especially someone that's going through instrument training and is doing their first approach.
Absolutely.
And then to show them, okay, you know, here's how far off you were from what the published approach would look like. A really neat tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you kind of got me hooked onto it. And both Mark and I, we used this tool yesterday. And let's talk about that real quick. But so I did a flight, and I did the exact same thing as you, Todd. I forgot about it, you know, and I was impressed that the thing actually turned off, you know, once the plane can sense that it's, or once the app senses that, hey, you know, this jack wagon's done flying, you know. But so trying to take it into a training environment, another club member and I were at one of our monthly breakfasts are going to try to do like an IFR, how to fly IFR or something like that. The flying IFR in the day in the life of just a regular GA pilot, maybe. And I thought, so yesterday I went up with a really good friend of mine and I turned this app on. We went flying, and we filed IFR and we're trying to go to Valparaiso, Indiana. So the real learning challenge was trying to figure out how to get IFR to Valparaiso, Indiana. Out of the Chicago Executive Airport, it's kind of landlocked. To the south, there's O'Hare, so they're not going to turn you directly south. You know, to the east is Lake Michigan, so single engine over the lake in the middle of the lake, which is 60 miles wide, that's not really smart. So how do we get down there? So we kind of worked our way along the lakeshore and IFR and kind of figured it out. And what was really neat is that we were able to capture this whole flight on what, you know, how to actually get this done so that, you know, northern Indiana or Michigan is a lot more accessible to single-engine airplanes flying IFR in that direction.
That's pretty cool. I'm trying to visualize how you got IFR down the lakeshore.
Yeah. Well, we'll just briefly touch on it rather than spend all this time on it. But we kept asking for headings and vectors instead of going to a fix over the lake. We used the remark section in the flight plan.
No over water?
Yeah, no, or over water, okay, no in the middle of the lake. That's what I said.
That's a hell of an acronym.
Not good swimmers.
Yeah, exactly. Not ETOP certified. So anyway, it was cool. So I'm going to break out that Cloud Ahoy. I'll post it on Simple Flight, but that's going to be in this little training seminar at one of our breakfasts.
And I used Cloud Ahoy for the first time after hearing from you, Todd. And what was interesting to me is I kept saying this is just FlightAware. Right, because FlightAware always gives you the track, but the addition of Google Maps, and maybe you can do that in FlightAware, and the cockpit view though really gives it a different twist, and it's something I'm going to use much more often.
Yeah, I think it's a fun way to use both for learning, but also just for the enjoyment of remembering a flight you had or sharing it with other people.
Yeah,
absolutely,
very much so.
One thing, is a training tool. One thing that I really, really enjoyed about this app is that as you sit there, it's so entertaining to watch and replay this in your mind as you watch the little cockpit view go. And you can see every little turn that you do, and you remember it. And what, you know, at least from an instructor's standpoint, what the student did and how they can make it better or replay this portion of the flight and things like that.
I actually had a chance to speak with the guy that created the app. He's a pilot, does it recreationally. He's not a professional pilot, and he mentioned that he records every flight, but doesn't necessarily debrief everyone. But a couple months ago, he was flying over the Boston Class B airspace and had a malfunction, ended up with no radios, and he said it was very interesting to go back and look at the flight track from that flight,
right?
Because as he's trying to troubleshoot that, he's looking through the cockpit trying to figure everything out, he's trying to go through the checklist, you see in his track both the pitch, you know, when you look at the cockpit, and the way he just kind of kept maneuvering and excuse me, it reminded him why we say we should aviate first when there's some sort of issue.
Yeah.
And it made it a visual representation of that, you know, while he's trying to troubleshoot all this, he's moving all over the air left and right and not maintaining his true flight path.
Right. That's actually a cool way of looking at that too. Imagine if Cloud Ahoy was on, you know, for the Hudson River landing.
That would be very cool. I'm thinking here all the different times I wish I had used that in the past. Of course, it either didn't exist or I didn't know about it, but yeah, no, it's very, very cool. Yeah. And I think it's also just like Spark Reel, you know, that we've talked about so many times in the past.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way of sharing. And as Todd's talking, I keep thinking about, again, this technology and how it brings us together as a community. And his MyFlightBlog.com became so widespread and successful and quoted and mentioned in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
because it's this community aspect that all these industries need, and we're starting to see it in general aviation, but I think we can see it a lot more. But I think it certainly validates why clubs like Leading Edge Flying Club have become successful, because people want this community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that now this community is going to have a kind of a global outreach, you know, with all this new technology. So it'd be kind of neat. I would love to see people in Europe and Asia, Africa, flying using the Cloud Ahoy. You know, you get to talk about being able to fly into different airports that you would love to do. You know, you can almost start, you know, scratching some of these things off your aviation bucket list with something like this. It's
kinda
neat.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's a good one. That's a really good one. And but there's a lot more. There's a lot more websites and apps and things like that out there. What are some of your other favorites, Todd?
You know, I think I mentioned on my blog just recently, there's a movement going on by a company called InFlight Cam now. So they produce a in-flight camera, kind of like a GoPro type camera that fits in the cockpit to record, and it's really meant specifically for aviation. They've got a neat effort going on right now where they're creating something called the Solo Hall of Fame, where if you're about to do that solo, Mark was talking about it at the beginning, you know, watching the different faces of a solo pilot, you know, the kind of fear and panic of looking around to realize they're the only one in the cockpit, but then that smile that comes out from the achievement of doing your first solo. Well, they're offering a free camera to anybody that's about to go do their solo.
Nice.
They'll mail you the camera.
I think I'm going to go out and solo tomorrow.
Yeah. They're going to have a whole bunch of repeat solos. But they'll mail the camera to you. You put it in the cockpit. You do your flight. And then you send it back to them. They'll professionally edit the video for you.
Nice.
And then give it back to you. And I think it's great because not only is it special for that person, but, you know, those people are going to share it with everyone they know in their, you know, social network, with their friends, their family. And that's going to inspire other people to seek out aviation more than just their conversation about what happened. Actually seeing it, you know, seeing the look on their face, seeing the airplane flying, and knowing that their friend was capable of achieving that. I think that's going to inspire other people to do it. And I think more companies should be thinking of ways to help pilots share that love and share that passion with those that haven't yet caught the bug.
Definitely.
Right, right. And that when you say N-Flight, it's the letter N, not I-N.
That's correct. N-Flight Cam.
Yeah.
N-Flight Cam.
I'm a big proponent of stuff like that, because being a professional pilot, and I've mentioned this before on the show, but, you know, you live a life on the road, you know, away from, you know, your family and being connected with them and, you know, a lot of friends and things like that. And it's when the unfortunate thing is that when you're gone working, you know, there's a perception that you're out on vacation, you know, and then you come back and
Las Vegas.
Exactly. But no, seriously, the people think you're out on vacation and, okay, yeah, you're in New York or Philadelphia or Washington, D.C., just hanging out. But the reality is that you're out working. You're, you know, earning a living. And it's kind of a hard thing to describe to people on what you actually do. People know what pilot does; they fly airplane, but nobody really knows what's involved with that, or like going through, picking your way through a line of thunderstorms with a weather radar. You know, with, you know, very valuable intellectual property on board. You know,
i.e., human beings.
Yeah, exactly. So. And this is kind of a neat way of sharing this, maybe not even to people who have an aviation bug that or itch that they want scratched, but just people, you know, just your friends and family, just to let them know that, hey, this is actually what I do for a living.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, video brings everything to life, and this allows people to see what it's like to be in a small airplane. And I think it's definitely going to encourage people to say, let me go with you at least. And possibly, hey, how do I do this? How do I get into flying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think this concept of technology just shows how much more we can do to bring people in that aren't part of it today. To your point, Todd, I very much believe that.
Absolutely. It kind of makes me pretty excited to be able to use this stuff, because it will scratch many different itches for me of, okay, I like the tech stuff, right? You know, just because it's cool and trying to stay ahead of it. I like aviation. I love aviation, and I think more people should be in it. And I think hopefully with the combination of a lot of this stuff, it will we can, you know, these are wonderful tools to go out and promote, you know, promote aviation in a light that's never been seen before.
Right, right. Now, it's, like I say, it makes me think of all the missed opportunities in the old days, but they're here for us today. Now, having to pay for all of it, unless you're Todd and everything's free.
I wish they were all free. Yeah.
But no, it's a really cool way of going out and exploring all this stuff and getting exactly what you want to get out of aviation, as you know, rather than, you know, just showing up and leaving. You know, as many flight schools or many pilots do, you know, in aviation. So, do you have any other cool technologies that you think that that are out there at all?
You know, there's
websites.
Yeah, there's a variety of things that have piqued my interest. One of the things that caught my interest over the last week or so is a magazine out of England called Loop, which is a aviation magazine that was meant for the European audience, but is free to everyone in the States via an iPad app. So if you've got an iPad, you can download this. This magazine. The great thing is they've completely built this magazine for the iPad, so they no longer are doing the print edition, and so they make it completely interactive. You know, a lot of the magazines have kind of created a digital version, some of them well, some of them not so well.
Right.
But they've done it really, really nicely. They've integrated the right amount of video and photographs, and you can have a totally different experience with the magazine whether you have your iPad turned horizontally or vertically. So once you think you've finished the magazine, you can turn it and then experience it completely differently.
Yeah.
And so I got lost in it one night. They downloaded two different issues, and it was great. And as I mentioned before, as an aviation content consumer, for me, finding another source for aviation is always exciting. And the fact that it's free is even better. So that's one that if you don't have Loop on your iPad, definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Loop as in L-O-O-P.
That's correct.
There you
yeah.
go.
Loop. I like it.
I don't know. For years, the Pilot Mag was kind of a magazine that was kind of an upstart magazine, but has been hard to find. I just heard from their COO yesterday that they're coming back to the iPad. They had some struggles with the iPad and didn't have the device or the magazine available. They expect to have it available sometime in the next month or so. And so that's going to be exciting to, again, have another great publication available on the iPad.
Definitely. I think that's going to be a neat thing. And, you know, the iPad itself has kind of revolutionized things of a lot in aviation and everything, you know, and globally and many different disciplines. But I think that that's it. That's pretty cool. I'm definitely going to start checking that out and reading that. And I'm really intrigued that it's a European company that actually does it.
Yeah, it makes me kind of wonder what other magazines are out there that I don't yet know about. So sometime this week, I've got to start just looking around to see what other aviation content I've been missing. Because it's great when you find something like this. Because there's a 9 or 10 issues of backlog for me to go back and enjoy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we got a couple other. Other pieces of technology and websites coming up here, but we're going to take a quick little break and two-song break, and we'll come back and we'll be here with Todd McClamrock of MyFlightBlog.com and explore those and then get into the later part of the show. It was Hangar Talk, which there are no rules in Hangar Talk.
That's right.
All right, but we'll be back in a quick two-song break. Looking forward to talking with Todd again.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on Ethanolive Internet Radio, www.ethanolive.com.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come on, fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near, you may hear all the angels cheer, because we're together weather-wise. It's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It is perfect for a flying honeymoon. They say, come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers, just because we're together weather-wise. It's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away. Pack a small bag.
Thing get a pole. We'll go fishing in the crawfish hole. Five car poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
You get a line,
you get a line.
I get a pole.
We'll go fishing in the crawfish
down
hole.
In the
five car poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
You get a line, I get a pole.
We'll go fishing in the crawfish
down
hole.
In the
five car poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
Yes, we are back here at the KPWK Airport on KPWK Radio. I'm Al Waterloo with Mark Eppner and Todd McClamrock of MyFlightBlog.com. We had a great conversation about a couple of Todd's favorite technology bits, websites, apps, all that, and in aviation. We got a couple more to talk about, and I think that it's yielding some pretty exciting horizons for aviation, and it's going to be pretty neat to see.
Yeah, and it's making me realize how much I need to spend at the app store and pick up some new things. I've just been so satisfied. I got 4Flight, I got my radar, I'm fine.
You just need to have Santa Claus give you some. I'm sorry.
Hanukkah Harry?
I forgot.
It's okay. Just go ahead.
Gifts of iTunes or App Store gift cards.
Yeah, that would be good. I have to tell you, though, I'm so, I don't know what you call it, but I just have to go buy things now. I can't wait until the holidays when I want something today.
Yeah, right. Well, you know? That's good.
Yeah, it keeps me young.
Yeah, definitely.
And broke. No. I always buy the 99-cent stuff.
Yeah, well, good.
But actually, I had a couple questions for Todd, or I don't know if you...
go ahead. Yeah, shoot them off.
Todd, you know, we started the conversation about why you started My Flight Blog and all of that. Were you surprised at the direction it's changed to, and where does it go from here?
Where it goes from here, I wish I could pull out my crystal ball and know the answer. I'd be a rich man and flying one of these beautiful jets out on the tarmac here. but you know, I'll definitely take a guess. I guess I'll start with, was I surprised with where it went? You know, I don't think I knew what the next big thing would be. And I think after blogs, podcasts were really kind of the next step. And then now into things like this, where there's radio shows that can be broadcast live and people can interact with and call in and tweet on.
Definitely.
And so, you know, I think it's just been a proliferation of content and ideas, and so it brings out all this passion for you know, aviation in so many different ways, and it's been special. It's for someone that likes to consume this type of information. There's plenty of it now. I mean, the number of aviation blogs has just grown exponentially since when I first started My Flight Blog.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I can't keep up with them all. As a matter of fact, just like I asked before, how do you keep up with all the different tasks? Just to do the reading, you're talking now, I got to start reading magazines from Europe. Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is that I started a blog on simpleflight.net, and you know, I had no clue. You know, anybody had, you know, blogs or anything, and I just started rambling, and I think that's kind of what a lot of people did. And now that I'm very much aware of it, you know, just kind of doing some research on it, you go on Twitter and you look up aviation blogs, there's tons.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you know, there's a wide variety of quality in those as well. And so,
yeah,
you know, I think you have to take some time to read through them, and you'll find ones that you like and others that just aren't right for you. But the good thing is, you know, there's one for everybody that has their own niche in aviation. So,
right.
So the GA guy that likes to fly the $100 hamburger, there's a blog for them. The person that has career goals, there's blogs for them. And so there's so many of these, like, micro-niche blogs out there that you can find something that's really relevant to you. So I spend a lot of time reading blogs of pilots that are in the Chicago area, because they're writing about things that are relevant to me, cool places that I want to go, talking about, you know, flying IFR down the lakefront, things like that. So I spend a lot of time focusing on kind of Midwest and Chicago-based aviation bloggers, which, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, that would have probably been one, and now there's a plethora of those, and it's neat.
I didn't expect to hear the word plethora tonight. I just want to let you know that.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I write a blog, but very infrequently, because I don't write about today's trip. It's just when something moves me, and mine, I label it the passion of flight, and it's always about that. Matter of fact, it hit me today that when I was talking about watching these people with their first solo. You know, I blog is going to come out of that. I felt it. As a matter of fact, if I didn't have to go to a lunch appointment today, it would have been written already, but it's bubbling out. So I respect those that can get blogs out on a more regular basis, because I got to wait till something comes to me, and it's just not an every week thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the blogs that I've enjoyed recently is Fly with Amelia. And Amelia is related to Amelia Earhart, and in fact,
really,
that's her name, Amelia Earhart. I think she's a granddaughter or a great niece of some sort.
Very cool.
She's in Denver. She's a TV reporter that has an aviation passion, and she's actually planning to fly a Cirrus across the Atlantic. And she's,
oh my God, that's cool.
Still kind
I
of
heard
working
about that.
On.
I did too.
Yeah, so she's still building up her experience and planning that flight. But she writes some really neat blog posts about what it means to fly and why, you know, passion, back to the passion that we were talking about and that you talk about there, that, you know, why it sparks something so special to us. And she does it in a very eloquent way. And so I very much have enjoyed that. That's probably been one of the blogs that I've come across over the last month or two that I've really enjoyed the most.
Excellent.
Yeah. I used to listen to, there was a CFI, I think it was Jason Miller or something like that. He has a guitar and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Jason Miller's great.
Yeah, I haven't listened in a long time. I think, again, I became overwhelmed with the choice and overwhelmed with the number of podcasts and blogs, and I kind of shut down on it, much to my discredit, because there is a lot of good stuff out there, but it overwhelmed me, I guess you could say.
Yeah, definitely. There is a lot of stuff, but I think Todd definitely hit the nail on the head, is that there's micro niches, you know, and there's the blog out there that is for you, and that's kind of cool, you know, that you don't have to read every single one of them, just read what makes you happy, I guess.
Yeah, well, and certainly anywhere you go in my house, you can stop at a chair and find a flying or plane and pilot or AOPA magazine with a pair of reading glasses and a light. So I have them in every seat in the house, including that in the special room.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good. That's excellent. You know, so now you could just make, you know, pull up your Twitter account, and then
you go to Twitter. You said you were going to teach me how to be a better Twitterer or tweeter.
A tweeter.
A woofer.
Yeah, well, that's still on the list.
Yeah, I want to do that. Matter of fact, you know, I just, while we're sitting here, see there's some, I don't know, were they tweets that are coming out while we're talking?
Yeah.
And I see on our, Al and Mark are talking about technology. I think that's so cool. I'm seeing my name here in lights. And I have no idea how to put it there, so thank God everyone else does.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we'd like to open up the phone lines and the tweet lines and the Facebook lines and the interactive live chat line. For any of those of you who have any questions for Todd specifically, or we'd love to hear some of your favorite aviation websites or knickknacks, things like that, feel free to call us live on the show. That number is 312-436-0356. Or you can go to simpleflight.net, find all of our social media outlets, our Twitter account, tweet us a question, hashtag SimpleFlight. Or if you're afraid of all of that, you can go to athanolive.com and use the interactive web chat function on the website there. Looking forward to hearing from you. One of my favorite websites that has grown significantly, I think, is liveatc.net. That's kind of a fun website.
Yeah, I use it all the time. Matter of fact, when there is unfortunate accidents that we hear about in the news, I generally go to flightaware.com to file the flight path, and then I pull up Live ATC to hear the communications. I don't know if that is a little bit morbid on my part, but I certainly love to get all the information and kind of understand what happened. So I use liveatc.net.
Absolutely. Well, I went in and for my flight to New York City to JFK, I went in and found all the liveatc.net bits on us flying in. And one thing that was captured was all the radio chatter about the TAM Airlines landing gear emergency.
That's excellent.
It was kind of neat, yeah.
Again, we have a lot of enabling technologies, and it's up to us. As you said, let's use them. People use us, let's use them and take advantage of that, because there's a lot of learning there and a lot of enjoyment and education.
Yeah, and I've got to say, for those out there that enjoy Live ATC, it's really easy to be a contributor, to actually set up a Live ATC feed. I helped set up the feed for our airport here, and it was quite simple. The folks at Live ATC were willing to send out a pre-programmed radio for a small fee that we just plugged in, hooked up to our internet connection, and within 15 minutes we were broadcasting the air traffic control signals from Chicago Executive. And it's really that simple, and I'd love it if more and more people did it, because whenever I'm visiting a new area and I'm going by an airport, I like to tune it in if I can find it, and always disappointed when I can't find a feed and I look around and see all these businesses or homes that could easily be powering a Live ATC feed.
That's an excellent point. You know, I got to ask the question, do you guys ever go by an airport when you're traveling and pull out your handheld and hit the transmit button 7 times?
Oh, I do. Yes, I'm not the only one.
So you're the one turning the lights out on me as I'm flying in.
That's right. Well, I just want to make sure you can see those real lights at the end there.
Yeah.
I've actually, usually it's in my trunk and I don't have the wherewithal to get out and do it, but I've often thought about it. Certainly I have at night flight, just flying along, put it on like Unicom or something like that and just start clicking and see where the airports are.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. I think Live ATC kind of captures all of that, you know, that the essence of that fun. And, you know, I remember when I was in college, I had a handheld radio, and I lived close enough to the airport where I could get the tower communications. And it was one of those times where it's like, if it was a really stormy day, you couldn't get it, but if it was like a nice clear day, you could get it because of all the solar, you know, reflections and stuff like that. But you know, I had it running just to the tower frequency at the airport, and it was just kind of fun to listen to that. But Live ATC has done that. They've grown quite a bit. A lot of cool airports and stuff on there, and there's a lot of entertainment value in all that too.
Yeah, and it's great too that they keep the archives. So, you know, Mark, as you said, if there's something that goes wrong, it's always some place that you can go to learn more. But if you have a fun aviation experience, you know, I know that when people in our club have done their first solo and things like that, club members have gone in and pulled the clip of them kind of nervously getting their clearance for takeoff. And so it's a really special resource.
The only time I did it for me was when I flew into Oshkosh for the show.
That's a great reason to do it.
Oh, my God, yeah. Although he didn't say nice rock to me because he was really busy. So I was disappointed, but he did call out the guy behind me saying, "You're getting a little close. Pull back from that Cirrus." Yeah, it was great. So, yeah, it's a great site. Al, what about you? What other websites do you?
Well, one that had a big, significant pull in my college career was airliners.net. You've never heard of airliners.net?
No, I'm looking at Todd. Todd shaking his head.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here.
Oh,
like
man.
An idiot.
No. Oh, man. It's
all right,
like
tell me more. Tell me more.
Pornography for airplanes. I mean, it was a great resource because I was on the competitive flying team at the University of Illinois. And they have, you don't realize how many different types of airplanes there are in this world until you start getting into aircraft recognition and then digging around on airliners.net. Holy moly. It is cool.
It's a great place to find all the cool places to see airplanes, too. They tell you where to go at any airport to get the best view of the incoming traffic, to take photos. It's pretty neat for that.
Definitely. It's kind of a it's a huge sport, believe it or not, in Europe. And like that, I remember having a layover in Zurich, and they had vans taking spectators out in the middle of the airport to go take pictures, you know, to be posted on airliners.net. And you can't just post a picture. It has to go through an approval process. I've never had a picture posted on airliners.net. It has to be a high-quality image and you know, clear and proportioned right. And it has to go through an approval process. It's pretty amazing.
Not a website, but on a Google Map type thing. What's the graveyard for all the military flights or planes in Arizona, is it, or New Mexico?
Mojave Desert?
Don't remember. I just know that I've been to the Google Maps, and you just see all these, like, the Fort Flying Fortresses and every plane that's, like, ever flown, and they're just sitting there in this graveyard.
Yeah.
And like I say, it was Arizona or New Mexico. I should know this, but I just know that someone sent me there on the Google Maps or whatever, and it was just so cool to zoom in and see all.
Yeah, I'm infatuated by those. Those are neat places. We flew over one on my flight to I was flying to California a few months back, and we flew over one that was a graveyard for old DHL planes. And you have all these bright yellow planes lined up, but it's just cool to see them all kind of lined up like that. I'd love to see some of those, you know, historical warbirds and things like that.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's so cool.
Absolutely. It's kind of a, there's so many different neat ones out there, and they're kind of fun to mess around with. What about you, Mark?
Well, you know, I always used to do things as simple as the $100 hamburger site, but then they started charging for it.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, my favorite websites are pretty much what we've talked about. I love FlightAware. From a weather perspective, I love weathermeister.com. You guys use Weathermeister?
I don't.
I only know of it through you, but found it to be pretty impressive.
It's a great site, and you know, some of it's been replaced by the functionality of a ForeFlight, but Weathermeister, the thing I don't like about it, although many do, is it's in plain English rather than the METARs that I'm so used to, that we're all used to. But you can get a complete briefing on a flight, and you look for the red text because that's the stuff that's really significant. Yellow, you should probably be aware of. And the green, you know, it's kind of normal stuff. And it has pilot reports and your adverse briefing and all your charts. It's just a great site for getting a quick view of a flight you want to take. So I recommend you go out there. You can use it as a subscription, or you can just use it for free for limited functionality, like limited number of planes. So that, WeatherTap is another one. I love weather sites because I'm always trying to learn more about weather.
Absolutely. That sounds like you might need to be reading some weather blogs.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. That sounds like there's cool
yeah,
ones.
You know what? I should. Actually, I've been buying books. Again, I'm a little old school, but I did buy some aviation weather books, and I've got some old DVDs I'm watching. And I'm looking forward to your November talk at the Leading Edge Flying Club breakfast on IFR flying or weather flying.
Yeah, it should be pretty neat. It'll
be
a lot
great.
Of fun.
It'll be great.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's cool. Well, and any other last favorites you have, Todd?
Wow, I think you guys may have tapped me out there. I think one app that I played around with was fun. Don't know the full extent of how useful it'll be, but Zulu Headsets has come out with an app called Flight Link that if you've got a Zulu headset, will use the Bluetooth technology to record all the communication within the cockpit, both with ATC and with other passengers in the plane. And it's a neat app. You can kind of have that for a learning experience. That you can go back and listen to the conversations. You can also use it as like a 7-second replay if you missed a call and you wanted to say.
But you need the Zulu 2 for that.
You
right?
do need the Zulu 2. But I guess what I take away from that is it's neat to see again aviation companies trying to think of ways to better use their technology to, you know, keep people learning. You know, you wouldn't normally
Definitely.
Think, hey, the headset company should be helping with teaching people, but they realize that they play a key component in the communication process.
I'm looking at my iPad right now, and I'm looking at some of the ones that I have on here. I have added Cloud Ahoy, but My Radar is a free little radar app that gives you a quick view of weather radar around the country and where things are trending. It's an app I really enjoy. iHUD, which you really can't use. It looks like something you could hold in your airplane and have a backup instrumentation. It's more of a game than anything. You wouldn't.
Yeah.
I have all my AirVenture apps. Boeing.com, or I don't know, it's Boeing.com, but it's an app called Boeing that gives you a lot of information about Boeing aircraft. AOPA FlyQ, which replaced AOPA airports. Of course, I've got ADDS on here for the radar and for ADS weather, DC Duat, so on and so forth. But I recommend My Radar. I've got a lot of things.
Cool one.
I have to ask you, are you guys familiar with augmented reality?
No, I'm not. How about you, Al?
Is that something that happens when you go, like, do drugs or something?
No, I just made it up. no, it's something that kind of came to the forefront with the iPhone and with iPads when Yelp, which you know is used for food reviews, had a hidden code you could put in to release it so that you could use this augmented reality on your phone, and it basically allowed you to hold up your phone and see all the restaurants that were down the street and what the rating was.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of that.
And so now somebody's created something like this with an aviation take where you hold it up and it'll show you where all the airports are. So I'm holding it up out the window here. And can see that DuPage is about 23 miles from here.
That's amazing. How does it know that which way it's facing?
Yeah, well, so it knows exactly which direction I'm facing. And
how does it know?
It's an iPad. It's smart.
I don't believe that.
You know, and you know, so the creator of this app, you know, kind of talked about the fact that if you need to find the nearest airport, you could do this. Now, so many people are already flying with the 4Flights and with G1000s and things like that. I'm not sure really how beneficial this is yet. But it's something I downloaded and started to play with just to see kind of how
awesome.
It looks. And it is pretty cool. It's accurate from what I can tell that it will tell you where every airport is
I'm gonna have to
on your horizon.
Augmentedreality.com?
No, well, so it uses what's called augmented reality. The app is called Airport, and that's A-R-P-O-R-T.
A-R-P-O-R-T.
All right, I'm going to write that down, too.
Well, I have two more quick suggestions of some of my favorite things. There's a guy, one app that I just found. It's an iOS app, so meaning Apple, so for an iPhone or iPad. But an aviation blogger that's featured on Forbes and AOPA and has his own aviation blog website called aviationchatter.com. He has an app called Hold Here, and what this thing does is it basically helps you map out holding patterns. You can set your heading and your radial, and it'll tell you direct entry, parallel, teardrop, however to get in. But the coolest feature that I really love about this app is that it tells you how long you can hold for. And this is a subject that was very, very important to me based on my experiences. It's so important to not only know how to get into a hold, but more importantly, how long can you stay in the hold before you have to get out of the hold and divert somewhere. So you input your ground speed and your fuel quantity, and it will tell you how long you can hold for until you have to divert to your alternate. It's awesome.
That sounds very cool.
It is cool.
How many times we get a hold, but I know when you were working with the airlines, Al, that's something that happened to you.
Yeah, and it's such a huge, and this is a great training tool, and I'm going to recommend it to all my students, is that because holding patterns are taught, and they just taught how to fly, just flying, how to get in and fly in a circle, then move on to the next maneuver. But there's this additional mentality that nobody teaches when you go and get issued a holding a clearance. The first thing you need to be figuring out is, can I even hold, or how long can I hold for? And that could be way different than what your expected further clearance time is that air traffic
That's
control
a good point.
Could give you. So I really like that. Thank you, Pat Flanagan, for putting that out. I'm definitely give that out to my students. And we had an email
Tonight for
we had an email. Yeah. So
is it an email, a tweet, or
it's a genuine
chat.
Email?
All right. I haven't even checked my email. I don't know if people are writing me here.
Yeah, they sure are. But we have an email, and this is from Mr. Lewis Bowers. Remember Lewis?
I do indeed. He may want to be anonymous, and obviously that's not going to happen anymore, but
well,
go ahead.
Well, that's all right. Lewis is a good friend of the show, and him and I have gone flying quite a bit. And, well, first of all, he's got a really cool blog out there that he's kind of reignited, which is a lot of fun, and that's skyconditionsclear.blogspot.com. And we'll put that up on Twitter and Simple Flight, but he's got some really good articles. But he said his favorite website, in addition to airliners.net, is fencecheck.com.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah, fencecheck.com. I'm on it right now. It looks like there's a lot of military pictures of refueling, everything from old warbirds, P-51s, up to carrier landings, and not just U.S. material, but looks like there's a lot of cool Russian stuff and things like that on here. Some forums that you can read and things like that.
There was a site, and I think they've changed. I'll put it out there, and I apologize if it no longer exists, but it was for a hotel in Iowa City, Iowa, called the Alexis Park Inn, which is adjacent to the Iowa City Airport, and they had a section of aviation videos, and they were the coolest videos. There was humorous ones, there was military ones, there was GA, there was September 11th ones, and I spent hours going through all the videos from reporters that had low flybys, and they were taping a news story, and all of a sudden they'd start swearing and stuff. I mean, it was just a great site for all things aviation.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Maybe we can put it on our website. But it was about the Alexis Park Inn, and then it gave the history of the Iowa City Airport, and then went into videos.
Definitely, definitely. Well, that's great. And I think we've got some really good, you piqued a lot of curiosities here, Todd, on finding different technologies and websites and a lot of cool things out there. You could tell that people are doing some really cool things to get exactly what they want out of aviation. You're certainly doing that, and that's just, that's really cool. I definitely admire that.
Yeah, and if there's anybody out there that has a really neat airplane and has more than one seat, give me a call.
After they call me first.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. Would you mind, are you good at hangar talk?
I'd love to do some hangar
talk. I read one of his blogs. That's what brought him to Leading Edge Flying Club.
Absolutely.
It was the lack of hangar flying in Chicagoland compared to what he had been used to. So I know by reputation all, he's a very good hangar flyer.
Excellent. Well, in just a second, we'll start up hangar talk, but first,
you're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on Ethanolive Internet Radio, www.ethanolive.com.
Now we're getting into one of the coolest parts of the show, and that is our hangar talk session. And we like to open up the phone lines. Any or all are welcome to talk shop with us. If you want to be live on the show with us, dial 312-436-0356. There's an interactive live chat feature on ethanolive.com. We're monitoring that. I have seen a couple people log into it, and I've said hello, but nobody said hello back. And feel free to go to simpleflight.net to our social media outlets on our radio page and send us some tweets and all that good stuff. And we'll definitely be happy to have you on the show or mention whatever you bring up.
So I let's kick this off. Actually, I want to do a little bit of a lead into next week's show, and maybe we can start talking about this. Be ready? Is that all right with you?
Yeah.
So I became aware of ableflight.net, org, ableflight.org. Are you familiar?
I have. You got me hooked onto it.
Yeah, and Todd?
Yeah. The very neat organization.
It's a great organization because so much of what we talk about is the accessibility factor, and so many times we think of those that are disabled, paraplegics, deaf, quadriplegics, MS, you know, muscular dystrophy, cystic fibrosis, all these things that would prevent people from getting a medical. I mean, just all of us that are lucky enough to be walking around with all of our faculties sometimes have trouble getting medicals renewed.
Sure.
And ableflight.org has done a great job of opening up flight, making it accessible to the disabled. And next week, our executive director, Charles Stites, is going to join us on the show. And I spent some time in preparation of that on the site, and it's very cool. I mean, I don't know if you've... Jessica Cox, have you ever seen the story on her? She was born without arms.
Yeah,
yeah, unbelievable.
And she went through ableflight.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. You know, you hear so much. Here she is. She's flying an air coop with just her feet. And all the stories there are very uplifting. Do you guys know anyone that's a disabled person that's...
I don't. I think I've just read about them in magazines and stuff. But what a neat organization. And gosh, I'm very much looking forward to next week's show.
Yeah, so are we. But
I knew a guy that had a... that lost part of his leg in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah, I hate hearing those stuff.
Yeah. And for the longest time, he wasn't able to fly because he wasn't able to use the rudder pedals fully. But this is a professor, or not a professor, but one of the teachers and faculty at the University of Illinois, where I went to school at the Institute of Aviation. And I was lucky to be down there when they had an STC approved for, like, hand rudder pedals for him. And he was able to go up and fly, which was great because he had a lot of great training resources, and he's just a wealth of knowledge and a great pilot, good guy. So it was nice.
And in reading Able Flight and some of the other organizations, so many times that's exactly what is the enabler, is the ability to move the rudder pedal to a hand control.
Yeah.
And we know it's in the Sky Arrow, which is an airplane that our Leading Edge Flying Club has just acquired. We're checking to see if we can do that on an aftermarket basis. I'm told that may not happen. But even the, what's the LSA that they're using for the trip around the U.S., Mike?
The Remos.
Is it the Remos? Or there's another one, I can't remember the name of it, but okay. There's other aircraft they're doing those hand controls for, the retrofitting them. So that's really good to see. And again, we'll hear more about that next week. So thank you for letting me get that plug in.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
And kind of neat things to aspire to. But
so what has been your favorite? Let's go on with the hangar talk. What's been your favorite fun destination? Not one you've done for work, but one you just said, you know what? This is just a lot of fun.
I have to say that this week the JFK experience was pretty amazing.
Oh, I bet, especially adding a tower tour onto it.
Yeah, and it was neat. My coworker and I, we work for a big commercial bakery, and they make a very popular brand of donuts.
Okay.
And this donut company or pastry company used to be based in Long Island, where JFK is. So we thought it would be fitting to bring all the controllers some donuts, the hometown proud. So we brought all these donuts up there. And, you know, we left the tower cab and we said goodbye to everybody, and they were going to look for us as we were taking off and things like that. And the last radio transmission they told us to is, you know, turn right heading 185 and contact departure. So we responded back and we said, enjoy the donuts. And they said, thank you very much. We got it on live ATC.
That's a clip to go back and download.
Absolutely. It was awesome. So that was a cool, fun destination. And especially, I've flown in there once or twice before with the airlines, but never on a cool occasion like this.
Yeah, that's cool. I actually have two, and you've heard me talk about them, but if you go to the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, actually the Mackinac Islands, or Mackinac, And for those of you not from the Midwest, Mackinac Island is indeed an island, right? It's landlocked. You take a ferry over. There are no motorized vehicles other than those that fly in. If you fly in and you pick up the phone to call for a ride, you will get a horse and buggy pick you up.
That's awesome. What a crew car.
Yeah. right. And it is something that I just had a blast with. We went up in a friend of ours, 310, last year, and just went for dinner. And it's not a short trip, but we just went for dinner. And to me, it was just such a cool place. And I really want to take my wife and some friends that are non-aviators up there because, again, we talk about accessibility. Now we're making something that would be a very long drive available for a quick afternoon.
Yeah.
So that's was one of my favorite. And then, of course, you heard me talk about Kansas City downtown, just a wonderful approach into a great airport and a great city.
Definitely.
How about you, Ted?
I think, you know, for me, it's always one of the more recent airports always comes to mind. And an airport that a lot of people in the Chicago area are familiar with, but is somewhat new for me, was Dacey Field. It's a grass strip not too far from here, maybe 15, 20 minutes flying time. But it's a beautiful grass field. We're talking three different runways, which is kind of unique for a turf airport. And even one or two of them have lights, which is something you don't find at every turf field. And what makes it even better is they've got some of the best sweet corn in the country right down the street from them, and they'll deliver it to you plane side. So for me, Dacey is a new and neat destination. There's just something special about landing on turf. An airplane just feels special. You feel like you're a barnstormer for a moment. So that anytime I can land on turf and then one so well kept is neat.
Yeah, actually, I'm very familiar with that. This is the first year I haven't flown there. Matter of fact, The gentleman that owns Twin Garden Farms usually brings out, his nephew.
His grandson.
Grandson, yeah. That's right. And we would take him for flights. And I'd always get an extra few ears of corn or a watermelon, but you say it's some of the best corn. It is the best corn in
Absolutely.
The world.
And I don't know if I've told you this, but his grandson was very excited to tell me that he's now taking flying lessons.
I heard, yeah. Actually, Dave is the guy's name.
And that's neat because I think he was inspired by seeing these guys coming in for corn in these small planes and coming out and getting a free ride. Now he's going to be out there in the pattern next time we're there, and that's pretty cool.
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah, his grandfather had told me that was happening. But going back to that corn, I'm so mad I didn't get any this year. Just for Twin Garden Farms, it's Mirai. It's a special hybrid of three different sweet corn seeds, and you don't have to cook it. They just take it off the stalk and peel it back and eat it. It's just, oh, my God.
That was awesome.
That beats a $100 hamburger any day.
Oh, yes, you're right. It's the best place you can go.
$100 bushel of corn. But so we got a couple people have started to tweet and email and chat in.
All right. Let's hear it.
Well, first of all, on our chat function here, there's one other website that one of our listeners likes to listen or look at, and that's called www.airfields-freeman.com.
I'm writing it down just like the others.
Yeah, and it's a website on abandoned little airports, you know, all over the country, this person is specifically asking you, Mark.
Uh-oh.
How many airfields have you flown in that don't exist anymore? And can think of two.
Well, I never flew into Meigs, which I wish I had, so I can't count that. I'm trying to think. I'll have to think about it because I'm going way back on a lot of them. And I know many of the airports that do still exist, they don't exist in the same form. You know, I even talk about Iowa City, which had three concrete runways, 150 foot wide. Now they have only two, and they're 70 foot and 100 foot wide. I mean, they've totally changed.
Definitely.
Although it looks the same. I'll have to think about it. I don't know. How about you?
Let's see. Old airport. Well, Todd and I actually flew into one. Maybe it's on its way out if it hasn't closed already.
Yeah, I don't believe it has closed yet, but that's
good.
Blue Ash in Cincinnati, Ohio. Really a unique airport, and it's sad that that list of abandoned airfields is going to be growing.
Definitely.
Well, if we go back to the documentary One Six Right, What'd they say? It's like one airport a week is closing?
Something like that.
Yeah. Very sad.
Yeah. We have another question, and this is a technical question by an old old friend of the show, Mr. Adam Herson. Remember him of Spark Reel?
I do. Actually, yeah. I have a small world story. I bumped into someone that was a relative of my sister-in-law yesterday at dinner, just moved to Chicago. He knew not very many people in Chicago, but he mentioned, he said, I went to college with a guy that's over at Chicago Executive, Adam Herson. I said,
oh, man.
I know Adam.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So what does Adam have to say?
Well, so Adam had a pretty exciting adventure this week. And you can actually go and see some of it on sparkreel.com, the flying group that we post a lot of videos to. But Adam is a student pilot, and he went on a solo cross-country.
That's fun.
Oh, it's a riot. I think that's great. So congratulations, Adam, for completing that. That's a pretty big hurdle. But anyway, he was on one of his cross legs, his stops, he got gas and went and got back in the plane and fired it up and started to do a run-up right before he took off. Well, he said that while he was taxiing, the mixture was leaned, and he was running the engine at about 1,000 RPMs. But then when he did his idle check, the engine was a little hoppity.
Hoppity. That's a technical
term,
right?
That is a technical term, right, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So he...
a little mashugana.
Yeah. So he thought he had a magneto problem, either fouled mag or something a little bit more complex than what may have been going on. But his question is, for a student pilot that usually flies older airplanes, when are the spark plugs too fouled that you should discontinue the flight?
You're looking at me. I should answer the question.
Yeah. Well, Todd, let's look at Todd.
I'll be right back.
Actually, when the plugs are fouled, what I usually do the old way was to lean it way out and lean it a lot and then run up the power and burn it off,
yeah.
Then I was told that's probably, while it worked, probably not the best way to do it. Just run it at a higher RPM and do your mag checks at high, and you can clean off the plugs pretty good. Just take it up, 2300 RPM and stuff, 2400. Lean it out a little bit. What about you, Al? You're the CFI in the group.
Well, I definitely...
He seems like he's Googling the answer right now. I'm a little concerned.
Well, that's because he flies a turbine.
Yeah. Well, maybe I've got a... Well, let's see what... we'll see what happens.
What are we doing here?
Siri, can you take off with fouled magnetos?
Plugs, I thought you said.
I've never really thought about it.
Well, fair enough. Yeah. That's a very political... She should be run for office or something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
But my official answer would be... I would say, if there's definitely a problem, there's a couple different ways to troubleshoot the problem, and that's by running the engine up, like you said, Mark. And sometimes there's fouled plugs. You can go out and lean the mixture, bump it up to a higher RPM, and what that's doing is it's getting it really hot in the engine, which burns all of the crud and the carbon or the blockage off the spark plugs, which will that burns it off, which clears up the path for a better spark, which will ultimately give you a smoother running engine. And I think a big misconception is that if you do it three times or so and it doesn't happen, try it one more time, do it four times. That's kind of my rule. I'll try clearing it four different times, and if it doesn't do it, then something's either really caked on there or something is really... seriously wrong with the magneto.
Yeah, it could be a mag problem. So to me, the answer to the question is, if by using the techniques we've talked about, you clear the engine and it passes the mag test,
yeah,
which is probably 150 drop and 50-75 differential, then go fly. If it doesn't, then don't go fly.
Yeah, right.
And it may be a bad mag, and you certainly don't want to go flying with a bad mag.
Absolutely not. Right?
But you can usually clear the plugs. I've never had a situation where I haven't been able to clear the plug.
Yeah. I think that that's kind of a that's a good piloted command decision. That's kind of what these solo cross countries are meant for and designed for, so that you'd make your own decision. There's really no right wrong answer. I don't think anybody's going to ever fault a student for choosing not to fly when they deemed or thought it was unsafe.
Right. Well, the old, it's better to be on the ground wishing you were in the air than vice versa. Right?
Absolutely. So I think that either, you know, whatever way you went about it, there's no real right or wrong answer. It's what you're comfortable with, it making good decisions and things like that. So that's my answer. If there was a problem and the student took off, well, you know, hey, you'd probably learn something, you know, and that there's a lot of power in that as well.
And that's when that comes up under true confessions rather than
yeah.
under hangar flying.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's definitely something to be, you know, that could be pretty nerve-wracking as a student pilot.
Actually, on my long cross-country, again, this is going back in 1976, I was flying back, I think, from Waterloo, Iowa to Iowa City, which north to south, and back then, and it was runway 17, which became 18 before they closed it. On the path there, there's two 13-story dormitories. And just before I approached Cedar Rapids, all of a sudden, it started running really rough. It was a mag issue. It wasn't, but I didn't know that. I was a stupid little teenager, right?
And, yeah.
I didn't declare an emergency, but I made what I thought was a great decision. I called Cedar Rapids Tower and said, I'm experiencing engine trouble and would like to land. And because I kept on envisioning not making it over those two 13-story dorms that were right in the path, the final approach for the north-south runway.
Yeah.
And then the owner of the flight school drove up to Cedar Rapids some 20 miles, and he said it was just the mags. You know, but I said, hey, I made the right decision.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
You know, I didn't like the engine.
That sparked another question by another listener.
Yeah, we don't have to give their name if you...
No, well, I don't know this person's name,
okay.
But this one is, hey, have you ever had any had an engine go bad in the air? If so, what did you do?
I haven't, other than the description of what I just gave you.
Yeah.
How about Todd?
No, not while I was pilot in command. I was in a aircraft that was experiencing some roughness. It was a fellow club member. We were flying down to Miami University, and it was a Columbia, a turbocharged airplane.
Yeah.
We were up at 17,000 feet cruising along, and it was an unsettling sound, kind of almost like a skip in the engine. And, you know, we looked at the map and realized that we were kind of passing the last major airport for then some 30 or 40 miles, and realized with that and not knowing the right solution at this point, we should probably get down. And ATC kept asking if we wanted to declare an emergency, and we didn't. We did use good crew resource management. I took over the radios while he worried about the checklist and tested everything out. When it got down, it turned out there had been, I guess, a small hole in the turbocharge hose, which was causing it to do this skip. Really was never any danger of losing the engine, but it was the first experience. I think it was neat because when you're flying with someone that you've never flown with before, you never know, you know, what their style is, and are they going to say, we'll just push it, we're going to go. And it was neat. We both made the right decision and said we don't feel comfortable here. You know, whether, you know, the same situation as you were talking about where, you know, you're the pilot, you have to make the decision, what are you comfortable with? And we were most comfortable putting it down and figuring it out. And so we did, but no full engine problems.
Actually, yeah. I think that was the day you guys called me to come pick you up.
That's right. That was the day.
Part of the recovery mission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. We'll get Mark to do it.
Definitely.
How about you, Al?
You know what? I've been very fortunate. I've never had any engine problems.
We're knocking on
wood. Knock on the wood. But I have had a couple different malfunctions, per se. Lost an alternator over the Pacific Ocean near Eureka, California, and a marine layer type of haze. So all the airports along the coast that we were at were down to 200 and a half, so we had to fly 45 minutes to Medford, Oregon, and we landed and had to manually pump the gear down, no flaps, and remember light gun signals. That's I just kind of guessed and landed and taxied, and nobody said anything, and it seemed like all the planes on the airport were halted until we got parked at the Millionaire FBO there.
Actually, I had an interesting experience, again, in the Iowa City Cedar Rapids area, where I lost my radio, my transmission ability. And it was a great learning experience because I'm going to Cedar Rapids. They're not hearing me. So I squawked 7600. And it was great because all of a sudden I hear Cedar Rapids say, aircraft squawking 7600, if you can hear me, ident. I push the ident. Okay, if you're landing Cedar Rapids, squawk this number. I squawked it, and they talked me through and just had me acknowledge that I heard them through the ident button or other things, and then I saw the light gun signals too, but they took care of both communicating or transmitting to me and then the light gun signals, and to me, it was just like this great learning experience of how the system can work for you.
Absolutely. No, it's pretty neat. You know, it's kind of neat how everybody's discovered that.
Yeah, and I've lost alternators. I've had door pops. I've had some of that stuff, but thankfully all non-emergencies and really non-events.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's one more thing I want to bring up, and it's going to be kind of exciting and an ongoing thing. And we've heard from two of our previous guests, Mr. Lewis and Adam of Spark Reel, and we have Todd here tonight, and you and I, Mark. But I think it's time to launch a video, a Simple Flight / Spark Reel video contest.
Yeah, we tried it before. There just didn't seem to be a lot of oomph behind it, but I think we're ready.
I'll take the blame for that one.
All right. It's your fault.
It is my fault. But we're getting back to it. We're putting our nose to the grindstone, and I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
All right. So tell us, how do people participate?
So everybody can participate by joining Spark Reel in our flying group at sparkreel.com/g/flying. And if you go there, you'll see a lot of cool videos. I think all of us have pretty much posted something. Todd had some great videos of him landing at a strip in Africa. You, Mark, you've had some cool videos of flying the Cirrus around in the Dakota. I've put up some videos myself. But what we want to try to do is kind of put some of these websites together and video and all that and just have a lot of fun with it. And so if you post your video to Spark Reel, you could do that via your cell phone or upload it through your desktop. But every month, we're gonna judge which is the best aviation video.
And what do they get if they get selected as the best aviation video?
Well, I think they're going to be in surprise be happy to know that they're going to get a Sporty's gift card.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
What about a Simple Flight shirt? We're going to have enough of those to go around?
Yeah, we could throw a Simple Flight shirt in there.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's cool. So any rules so they know what kind of videos to post?
Well, it's got to be unique. It's got to be something that, you know, there's... If you're a 747 captain and then and you're starting to post some cool videos of landing in all over the world, I mean, versus the guy that's just doing touch and goes, I think, you know, there are really no rules. At the end of the month, we're going to find the video that's just, you know, what we think is the coolest and the most unique, and doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, flying supersonic. It could be just a really cool picture or a cool video of a great landing or a neat flight or just anything in aviation that you see in an airplane taking off, whatever, riding in an airline.
Kind of like when you take a check ride, the DPE always says, well, just don't scare me. So here you just want to make sure that you say wow at the end of it. That's a cool video.
Exactly.
That's how you win.
Absolutely.
Right. So we'll get Todd and yourself and me and maybe Adam and Lewis together, and we'll just kind
of... We're going to be the judges at the end of the month, so post your videos to Spark Reel, the flying group, and we'll reach out to you at the end of the month and tell you you've won a Sporty's gift card.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Absolutely. And, of course, employees, or if volunteering is called, employees are not eligible to win, correct?
Oh, I don't want to be a judge then.
You're off the show. You're off the show, man.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. But
yeah, so I hope our audience takes advantage of that and just has fun with it. That's what flying is. It's special and it's fun, and let's just continue and build momentum.
Yeah, definitely. Well,
and we got to talk about next week's show real quick. I mentioned it in start, but I understand you're not going to be around next week.
I'm not.
So it's funny, when I take off, the show goes on without a hitch. When you're not going to be around, all of a sudden, Mr. Electronics with all these buttons and things like that. So we're going to pre-record next week's show, which is kind of a little bit against our design goal, but the show must go on.
Absolutely.
So next week, Sunday, 8 p.m. Central Time, same time, same channel. You will be here, it just won't be live. We're going to pre-record it, and as I said, we're going to have a special guest, the executive director of Able Flight at ableflight.org, Charles Stites, is going to join us and talk about extending aviation to the disabled, and
yeah,
it should be a great show.
It's going to be very, very neat.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't believe it's 10 o'clock already. This is not fair.
It's unbelievable. I think we were just starting to get going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think we're going to stay here and talk some more. Just have to turn down all these electronics.
Yeah, right. That's great.
Until they kick us out.
That's yeah. Right. Well, they already gone home.
Oh, they're 24/7 here at this signature.
That's right.
So, the popcorn machine has officially run out of popcorn, so I guess we have to go.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But it's been fun.
It has. Thank you very much, Mr. Todd McClamrock of MyFlightBlog.com, for being with us tonight. It's been an absolute riot, and we're looking forward to seeing more good posts from you and flying with you as well.
Yeah, thank you guys for inviting me on and for creating the show. It's been very entertaining. It makes I like to listen to it. I download it so that I can listen on my commute for the first few days of the week, and it's been a blast to have you guys in my car.
Yeah, without any of the risk. I love it.
Absolutely. Well, excellent. Well, thank you very much, and great show.
Al, nice job. Thank you.
Thank you, and
we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Tailwinds.
Blue skies.
Very good. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on Ethanolive Internet Radio, www.ethanolive.com.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Eppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.